This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matthew Wells. In this week's programme, concern is rising over the marked slowdown in economic growth across sub-Saharan Africa. We'll hear from the IMF. And we hear why stopping the illegal ivory trade is vital to sustainable development in Kenya. But first, the Liberian government is taking over control of VIP protection from the UN as part of a gradual transition towards assuming responsibility for all aspects of national security. The United Nations mission in Liberia, UNMIL, has been supporting the West African country since 2003. But as long-term peace and stability returns, it is gradually reducing its role. Romeo Togba reports from the Liberian capital, Monrovia.
At the height of the UN mission in Liberia, up to 17,000 military and police personnel who have passed through the main compound of UNMIL, where I am now. UNMIL is currently implementing a phased drawdown of troops and a gradual handover of security responsibilities to the Liberian government. UN peacekeeping personnel from Nigeria, India, Jordan, and recently China have been providing VIP security functions to President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf and her deputy. But now those responsibilities have been transferred. UNMIL Police Commissioner Gregory Hans spoke at an event to mark the handover.
I want to thank China's FPU command staff and its officers on your professionalism and diligence in support of the Executive Protection Service. I look forward to your ongoing professionalism to ensuring peace, stability is enduring in Liberia as we move towards the 30th of June, where the government will fully assume its security responsibilities.
Come 1 July, UNMIL will still have 1,240 military and some 600 police on the ground. But these forces will only be used in what the mission has described as very extreme situations. For her part, the Deputy Director of the Government Executive Protection Service, Rose Tracker, commended UNMIL for its service to the presidency.
A very big thank you to you for your sacrifice to our country. We appreciate you leaving the comfort of your homes, your families, to come here and serve our country. We have great respect for the work that you have done here, and we thank you wholeheartedly for that. We welcome you back to Liberia whenever you're free to come.
UNMIL was established in 2003. Following two civil wars during a period of 14 years between 1999 and 2003, almost 250,000 people, mainly civilians, lost their lives. Law and order in the West African country completely broke down. Peace and stability has now returned to Liberia following those dark days. Liberians are now safer after key justice and security reforms were implemented by the government. The UN Security Council is expected to decide on the future of UNMIL towards the end of 2016. After the eventual withdrawal of UNMIL, the UN will continue to support long-term peace in Liberia. Romeo Togba at UNMIL headquarters in Monrovia, Liberia.
Economic growth in sub-Saharan Africa has slowed markedly over the past year, according to the International Monetary Fund, the IMF. The fund's latest regional economic outlook is predicting another difficult year for the region due to what are being described as multiple shocks. The IMF's Céline Allard, who co-authored the report, has been speaking to Bruce Edwards.
So first let me say that the growth in the region in sub-Saharan Africa has slowed markedly since last year. Basically, we saw growth last year of 3.4% for the region as a whole, and we forecast it to decline further to 3% this year. And this is way below the 6% or so that we've been accustomed to in the last decade. So one of the reason, and the main reason actually, why we've seen that big slowdown in the region is that many commodity exporters, and in particular oil exporters, are being hit by a very large shock. Indeed, we have seen the growth slowdown among oil exporters, even sharper than for the region as a whole. We're forecasting growth for the group of oil exporters in the region to be 2.2% this year, which is way below the 6% we still had, for example, in 2014. And those are very large countries. In Nigeria, the biggest economy in the region, Angola, the third economy in the region, but also five of the six countries that make up the Central African Monetary Union, the CEMAC. So those countries are struggling and finding it very hard to adjust.
But the report also shows that many countries in the region are actually doing very well. So what are the factors that are working to their advantage?
So I'm very glad you're pointing that element, because usually people think Africa as one country with one set of circumstances. But in fact, you know, sub-Saharan Africa is made out of 45 countries, and it has always been and continue to have very large set of circumstances across the region. So indeed, while commodity exporters are having a rough patch right now, we see many other countries still enjoying robust growth. In fact, out of those 45 countries, we still forecast 13 of them to experience growth rate of more than 5%, and sometimes much higher than that. And those are countries, for example, like Kenya, Senegal, Côte d'Ivoire, and many low-income countries. So what are the factors that are working in their favor? And first, those are all oil importers, so they are benefiting indeed from a lower energy import bill. Also, those are countries that still continue to benefit from very strong private consumption, and efforts to upgrade infrastructure is continuing to support growth in those regions.
There's also a serious drought affecting the region. What are the economic implications of this drought, and how does that affect the region's economic outlook?
So first, you know, what's important and quite worrisome is that some 40 to 50 million people might be at risk of food insecurity by the end of the year. So this is really of a very large magnitude. And beyond those very high human and social costs that we see, there are also broader macroeconomic impact.
Protecting elephants and combating the ivory trade is vital to sustainable development in Kenya. That's according to Helen Clark, the administrator of the UN Development Programme, UNDP. Ms. Clark recently attended the burning of over 105 tonnes of ivory in the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, an event intended to show that the East African country is serious about bringing an end to poaching. Janie Kangelosi has the story.
The skies of Nairobi were filled with smoke when stockpiles of ivory and rhino horns worth over $100 million were set on fire. President Uhuru Kenyatta said the burning was to demonstrate to poachers that Kenya is serious about stopping the illegal trafficking of ivory and rhino horn.
Today's burning does not in itself end this murderous trade. But if we combine it with aggressive enforcement of laws already on our books, with effective control over the movement of ivory, and with other attacks on the incentives to market it, then our elephants will be saved. And this is as simple as that.
The fire is thought to be the world's largest ever destruction of elephant tusks and rhino horns. Helen Clark of UNDP attended the event and even helped to ignite one of the piles of ivory.
Protecting the wildlife is part of the sustainable development of Kenya. Sure, an elephant killed gives a poacher an amount of money, but that is the end of that elephant's story. That elephant alive is worth so much more than it ever was dead.
Elephants generate much more money on average through wildlife tourism, an industry that generates as much as 12% of Kenya's GDP and employs nearly 1 million of its citizens.
We need a UN wildlife concerted effort. We're all doing a lot. We need to join up our efforts. We need to go to the partners and say, back us as a package. We have the capacity on the ground through the huge field presence of UNDP to scale up very rapidly. We can't see countries losing 50% of their elephants every 5 years and expect to have elephants left. That's how urgent it is.
UNDP recently announced a $60 million program to back a stronger conservation effort in Africa. It's called the Global Environment Facility. The initiative will assist in creating incentives for conservation, ensuring better management of wildlife protected areas, and funding activities which will help tackle poaching. Janie Kangelosi, United Nations.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matthew Wells.